Outsider art is the name often given to the vast category of work by self-taught artists using all kinds of materials, from bottle caps to broken glass and soot. For collectors, it can offer less expensive purchases than conventional paintings and sculpture. In fact, it's become a huge market, especially in New York this time of year. David Darcy reports.
Josef Karl Radler made his New York debut this year. His works are mostly portraits and landscapes. Radler painted in the early part of this century, and he painted in a mental hospital outside Vienna, Austria. Jane Collier is showing Radler's works at the Galerie Saint-Étienne in New York.
He believed himself to be a great artist and thinker, and one of the reasons that he was hospitalized was for delusional megalomania, simply for harboring a belief that was beyond his social station and training. And so far as we know, his work was considered symptomatic of his illness. It certainly wasn't valued. The only works of his that survive, and there must have been many, many more, were actually works that were saved by, you know, a few of the doctors and nurses in the hospital.
Collier sold practically all the Radler paintings she had. At the recent Outsider Art Fair in New York, she was selling the work of two Russian artists for the first time in this country for up to $5,000 a painting. But some outsider art sells for a lot more. Collier also represents the estate of the lifelong Chicago recluse Henry Darger, whose huge collages of girls fighting interplanetary war are hot right now. They can fetch more than $50,000 each. Another hot artist in this year's market was the late Nashville sculptor William Edmondson. Sanford Smith organized the first Outsider Art Fair 9 years ago.
A Will Edmondson sculpture was available as recently as 11 or 12 years ago for about $3,800 to $4,000. A similar sculpture today would probably bring in the vicinity of $125,000. The market has grown with the understanding of the quality of much of the work. Much of the work is not great because it is done for the most part by either untutored, uneducated people. It is done by patients in institutions who basically do artwork to express their feelings.
In this country, outsider art generally means any art made by someone who's self-taught, although the Museum of American Folk Art, an institution devoted to just this kind of expression, doesn't use the term because it's considered marginalizing. In Europe, the field's divided between folk art and art brut, a term coined by Jean Dubuffet to describe a raw art unmediated by received culture. Naive art is yet another category, and dealer Jane Collier says all of this work has brought a new kind of collector into the market.
It is something that really grows out of that quintessential flea market experience. I go into a room full of trash, and I see the treasure. To everyone else, this all looks the same, but I can pick out what's great. And that is very, very different from a collector who needs to have their finds certified in advance by the Academy.
As this work gets harder to find in flea markets, it's turning up in galleries. Drawings and constructions made with string, soot, and spit by James Castle, an Idaho artist, were at the distinguished Nodler Gallery a few months ago. As the demand for outsider work grows, so does the appetite for mysterious biographies behind it. Some collectors come into galleries asking just how crazy was an artist, says Shari Cavan of Cavan Morris Gallery, which specializes in self-taught artists.
Somebody looking for work by schizophrenics, rapists, catatonics, killers. I mean, this is again the notion of collecting disease rather than collecting art. We don't want to think that we have a collection of diseases. We want to think that we have a collection of art, and I certainly am not in the business of selling disease.
There's always a risk that a field defined by its separation from the respectable art world can be exploited as a rogues gallery. But Gerald Wertkin of the Museum of American Folk Art, which is now showing an exhibition of Art Brut, says that, by definition, this is a field that doesn't and can't exclude anyone with what he calls a troubled biography.
That's going to be part of this field because the field is really something that represents all of us. That sounds rather corny, but in a real sense, that's the folk in folk art. You know, it's ordinary people expressing themselves for good or for bad, people who are in all different places in life, including in hospitals and prisons.
As the outsider field matures, dealer Jane Collier puts her faith in the people buying it. The good work, wherever it comes from, pushes out the bad.
I think the garbage will sort itself out. I think that people will learn to make those distinctions. Part of collecting, after all, is making mistakes. Every collector will tell you that. You begin small. This is a field that allows people to get in at the ground level. You can begin a collection in this field with less than $1,000. Of what else can you say then?
The challenge is distinguishing the art from the opportunism. A museum in Connecticut isn't making this any easier. The Aldrich Contemporary Art Museum in Ridgefield is opening a show later this spring called Art at the Edge of the Law, featuring work that breaks or broke the law. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.